Today's daf is Samach Tet. We're going to start at the bottom of Samach Chet Amud Bet at the words Rabbi Yochanan Amar. So just to review, look back at the Mishnah on Samach Chet Amud Aleph. We started off the Mishnah with Kol Psulim Shemakum Alikatam Psula Ve'Eino Matamei BeBeit HaBliyah. Any way that the Malika was done in a pasul manner, the Malika is no good. However, there's no Tumah BeBeit HaBliyah. Malak b'smol o b'layla. So, for example, if you did it with your left hand or at night, or shachat chulin bifnim v'kochim b'chutz. If you did chulin, this is a different category. If you actually did a shchita of chulin bifnim and kochim b'chutz, since it's a shchita, they're not matam b'beit habliyah because it takes it out of tumat levela, because it was actually shechted. Whereas before we were talking about if you did Malika generally is not a good shechita, but in the Mikdash it counts as a good shechita, even if it was done in a pasul manner, it takes it out of being Nevela. And then it had said Malak v'sakim, but now there's cases where it is Matame b'beit habliya, if you did it with a knife, or you did Malika of Chulim Bifnim, or you did Malika of Kodshim Bachutz, which are both disqualified entirely, right? You can't do Malika of Chulin outside. It's not considered anything. You can't do Malika with a knife, because the whole definition of Malika is with your finger. And Kodshim Bachutz, you're not allowed to do Kodshim Bachutz, even if you do Malika. You're not allowed to do it outside. And Torim Shalo Egiya B'nei Zmanan, or B'nei Yonah Sha'avar Zmanam, or Shifshah Gapah, or Nismeteina, or Shinikta Araglah. We're not going to focus on those cases today. All those are metamei bebeit habliyah because all those could never have even been brought as a korban. And here comes the klal: kol shepsulah b'kodesh eino metamei bebeit habliyah, lo ya psulah b'kodesh metamei bebeit habliyah. Right? If the psul was b'kodesh, then once it's kodesh already, and these are cases where if you put it on the mizbeach, you wouldn't have to take it down. So the first machloket we see in the Gemara is Rav says that. I'm not going to read everything inside, but Rav basically says that a zar who does the malika, which was not mentioned in the Mishnah, is mitame bebeit habliya. Okay, in other words, when we talked about if the zar does the malika, it's not allowed, and therefore it's mitame bebeit habliya. But Rabbi Yochanan, which we ended with yesterday, says zar ain mitame bebeit habliya, but sakim mitame bebeit habliya. So a zar is not mitame bebeit habliya. Now we're going to prove. We're going to have a source that proves Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Tnan. Kol ha-psulim shamakum likatam psula. Any case where it's pasul, a person who's not allowed to do malika, that did the malika, his malika is pasul. So according to the Mishnah, right, so the truth is kol ha-psulim could be people, it could be, it's not clear what it means, but since it says the word kol, and since it gives a klal, and then it gives pratim, we're going to assume that kol must be including something additional that wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. And what additional thing that wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah that would be relevant here? It must be the zar. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. Bishlam ala Rabbi Yochanan, kol latuye zar, ela l'rav, kol latuye mai. According to Rav, what's it coming to include? Well, the cases in the Mishnah, Rav said, are not matam beit habliya, and there are no additional ones like the zar. So my lav latuye smol v'layla, if you're going to say it's to include, if it was done with your left hand or you did it at night, that already says it explicitly. So Rav says, it's like you would have in an English class where they teach you start with a topic sentence and then give the details. The Mishnah does that, has a topic sentence, and then it gives the details. It's not actually coming to include anything additional. Okay, Tashma, let's go now to the last line in the Mishnah. Let's learn it from there. Zehaklal, kol shaya psulo bakodesh, eino matamei begadim. Right. If the psul was bakodesh, in which case it would be a case where if it already went in the mizbeach, you wouldn't have to take it off, then it doesn't have the halacha of tumah bebeit habliya. Bishlam ala Rabbi Yochanan, kol latuye zar. So again, why would you have to say this? Kol shaya psula bakodesh is not matame, it comes to include the zar. Eli l'rav latuye mai. What's this klal coming to include? So now they say, v'litamech, what do you mean? According to you, shaloi ha-psulo b'kodesh la-tuyemai. You're saying, Rabbi Yochanan, that kol shepsulo b'kodesh and omotamei b'beit ha-bliya is coming to include the zar. But if that's the case, what's the next line coming to include? Why does it have to say also, lo ha-psulo b'kodesh metamei b'beit ha-bliya? What's the point of that line? That must be coming to include something that's additionally is going to be tamei. So shaloi ha-psulo b'kodesh la-tuyemai. Ela, so therefore you can't say that anything that's unnecessary must be coming to include something. What are they going to say here? Ela reisha latuye shchita kodshim bifnim, and seifa li tuye malika chulim bachutz. It must be that the Reisha is, in other words, if you want to say that this Kol Shaya P'sulo B'Kodesh is coming to include the Zar, then you don't have to say that, because you could claim that the first case is coming to say, and even Shechita Kodshim Bifnim are also going to be included in, that they're not Matame B'Beit HaBliya, because you actually did a Shechita, and the case that's included in the Seifa is going to be Melikat Chulin Bachutz, because those cases might have been less obvious. The Melikat Chulin Bachutz, if you take Chulin and you do Melika on it outside the Mikdash, we're going to say that's Matame B'Beit HaBliya, it doesn't take it out of its state of Nevela. So Rav can explain what those are coming to include, and it doesn't have to necessarily include the Zar. Tanya Kavatei de Rabbi Yochanan, another source that proves Rabbi Yochanan. Milaka zar, milaka pasul, if a zar did the malika, or a kohen who was pasul, wasn't allowed to do it, did it. Hapigol vahanotar, if while he was doing the avoda, he had a machshav of pigol, or notar, it got left over. Or hatameh, or the person was tameh, or I guess the meat could be tameh. Ein mitameh mabeit habliya. They're not going to be mitameh abeit habliya. Okay, all these cases don't, right, it's still considered that the shechita was a good or the malika was a good shechita, so to speak, and it took it out of being nevela. So now, what does this obviously prove, Rabbi Yochanan? Because it says if a zar does it, there's no tumah bebeit habliya. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, shamati shtayim, echad kmitzat zar veechad malika zar, echad tered veechad lo tered. Rabbi Yitzchak says, I learned two halachot from someone, it was passed down to me, but I can't remember which was which, that either the kmitza or the malika, if it's done by a non-kohen, remember both of them are unique acts that are called a malacha kasha, that the kohanim were trained to do this, and therefore it was only done by kohanim. So if a zar did one of those two acts, one of them has to be taken off the mizbeach and the other one doesn't. V'lo yadana, and I don't know which is which. So Amar Chizkiah, Mistabra, Kmitza Tered, Malika Lo Tered. It seems logical to say that the Kmitza, if it was done by a non-Kohen, would have to, and then was burned on the Mizbech, it would have to be taken off, and not Malika. So now the Gemara says, why? Maishna Malika Ti Yeshna Bibama, Kmitza Nami, Yeshna Bibama. If you're going to say Malika has a way that it can be done by Azar, which is in the time of Bamot, even non-Kohenim were allowed to do Malika, you could say the same thing for Kmitza, also in the Bama, in the time of Bamot. The Kmitza was allowed to be done by anybody. V'chi tema ein mincha b'bama. And if you want to say maybe there were no menachot in the Bama, maybe it's not clear, because maybe Kmitza really couldn't have been done by Bamot. Also, you'd have to say ein ofonami b'bama. If you don't think there are menachot in the Bama, then you also don't think that there were ofot brought in the Bama. How do we know this? Tamar of Sheshet, the Divrei HaOmer, Yesh Mincha Bebama, Yesh Ofot Bebama. And the Divrei HaOmer, Ein Mincha, Ein Ofot. Rav Sheshet says that there's a machloket about whether there were minachot in the Bama, but whatever you held in terms of minachot, you also held in terms of Bamot, in which case Mincha and Kmitza should be identical. So now the question is, how do you know that they're connected? And how do you know im ein mincha ein ofot? My taima zvachim velo menachot. When it talks about in Shmo Kafdalet after Matan Torah, when they brought korbanot, it says zvachim. And there it says they infer from here only zvachim, only sacrifices, and not menachot or birds. Ela ema. So now, how can we distinguish them? Why would he distinguish between the kmitza and the malika? And why did Chizkiah think that dafka kmitza would be no good? Because in the end, it's true that if you hold there was kmitza in the bama and there was malika b'bama, so you could say there was malika in the bama, there was also kmitza in the bama, except the kmitza is not an accurate comparison. It can't build a paradigm for kmitza done by a zar, because ela ema ein kiddush b'kli sharet b'mincha b'bama. The mincha was done in a different way in the bama. If you remember when we learned about the kmitza, we said you take the kohen takes the kmitza a little bit out of the bowl of the mixture of the solet and the shemen, and he puts it into a kli sharet. So, and that one, it was one of the main avodot. It's like kabbalah and a kli of the dam. So since in the Bamot they didn't have kli sharet and they didn't put it in a kli sharet, so therefore you can't compare the kmitza in the Bamot to the kmitza in the Mikdash, and therefore only the malika of Azar can be compared to malika in the Bamot, and therefore that builds a paradigm to say, malika can be done by, if malika was done by Azar, you wouldn't have to take it off the Mizbeach, but kmitza has no accurate, totally parallel comparison. Continuing in the Mishnah, malak v'smol o balayla, tanu rabbanan.
You might have thought that Malika that was done inside the Mikdash
would be mitame begadim bebeit habliya. In other words, you might say it's still not considered, it's still considered not shechted properly because it was, I knew that I had to remember this. What they're tying here, not regular malika, but a malika that was done in a pasul manner, like balayla or bismol, or right, any kind of pasul malika, you might have thought, if even if it was done inside, it would still be matame begadim bebeit habliya, because it wasn't done properly, or let's say by a person who was pasul. Talmud lamar, nevela. Therefore, now they're going to learn from the pasuk. Let's read the whole pasuk. It's Vayikra Yudzayin Tepav. We're going to refer back to this pasuk a few times today. V'chol nefesh asher tochal nevela utrefa ba'ezrach u'bager v'chibes b'gadav v'rachatz b'mayim v'tameya v'erev v'taher. The assumption is that this pasuk must be talking about nevelat of tahor, and that when it talks here, the reason they get to this tumah b'beit habliya is because the pasuk says nefesh asher tochal nevela. Normally, tumah is it touches something. In this case, it says if you're eating a nevela or trefa, then you have a tumah. You have to be mechabes b'adav or rachatz b'mayim, etc. You become tameh. So now they say you can learn from this word that the word nevela comes to exclude a malika psula, that's not nevela. So the Gemara says, the Braita continues, the Gemara says, hanami. Hanami nevela hi. You could claim that that's a nevela. In other words, how do you know that the word nevela comes to exclude that? Therefore, it's not so clear. So they say, okay, it's not from the word nevela. Ela tamud lamar trefa. Ma trefa she'em materet et ha'isur. Af kol she'em materet et ha'isur. Yetza malika she'hi lifnim ho'il v'hi materet et ha'isur. Trefa, what does it do? It doesn't allow you to do anything with it. So therefore, the word trefa doesn't allow you at any point to get rid of the isur of the trefa, and the fact that it's a trefa doesn't allow anything to now be mutar. So therefore, you have to talk about a nevela that, by in other words, a way that the animal died that doesn't permit some isur. Now, what about a malika? Yatsa malika shehi lifnim. If the malika was done inside the mikdash, ho'il v'hi materet et ha'isur, meaning even if it was done in a pasul manner, what did we learn? Im ala lo tered. If it went on the mizbeach, you wouldn't have to take it off. Meaning that why don't you have to take it off? Because malika was actually done to it. So even though the malika was done in a pasul manner, it still is matir, the isur of allowing it to go on the mizbeach. And therefore, anything that's materet et ha'isur, ain't b'tame begadim b'beit habliya. And therefore, hevi ha-molek kodshim b'chutz u-molek chulin b'emim b'fnim me'emim b'chutz ho'il ve'em etirin et ha'isur. So now what case are we going to include? We're going to include someone who did malika on kodshim outside, or he was molek chulin either inside or outside. Since they're not matir any isur, this malika doesn't permit anything. You're not allowed to put this stuff on the mizbeach, and if you did, you'd certainly have to take it off. Therefore, they are matame begadim abet abliya. So that's how we get to the cases in the Mishnah. This is a drasha from the word trefa, that since a trefa doesn't matir anything to go on the mikdash, therefore, when it dies, therefore, only things that are not matir things to go on the mizbeach, or it could be matir things to eat, like a regular shlita would. Okay, Tanya Idach. Here's another brayta that learns something else from this pasuk. Yachot he shchitat chulin lifnim, v'kodshim beimi b'fnim maybe machutz mitama bebeit habliya. So now we're going to say that same right a brayta here. You might have thought that shchitat chulin lifnim and kodshim beimi b'fnim maybe machutz would be mitama bebeit habliya. Tamalomer nevela. Therefore, nevela comes to say these things are just like nevela. So now they say, ha nami. We're talking about shchita of chulin. I got confused for the cases for a minute. I thought we were talking about malika. You might have thought that shchita chulin lifnim and kodshim beimi b'fnim beimi b'chutz would be metame abeit habliya. If you did these, and you're not allowed to shecht b'fnim, and you're not allowed chulin, and you're not allowed to shecht kodshim at all, whether they're inside or outside. Obviously, we're not referring to animals here. We're talking about kodshim who are birds, because obviously animals can be shechted. We're talking about kodshim of birds are only allowed to do malika of kodshim and not shchita. So you might have thought, since these were done improperly, even though they were shechted, you might think they were metame abet habliya. Talmud Lomar, Nevela. That's where it says Nevela and not things that were shechted. So they say, ha, nami Neveli. Maybe you could call this Nevela because they were shechted improperly, right? In the wrong place or a thing that couldn't actually be shechted. Ela Talmud Lomar, Trefa. So again, they're going to learn it from this word Trefa. Ma Trefa Shaveh Bifnim Kibachutz. Af kol shavot bifnim kibachutz. Just like a trefa is the same inside and outside, meaning it doesn't matter whether you have a trefa in the mikdash, you have a trefa outside the mikdash, it's always going to be pasul, and not allowed to be eaten and will be tameh. Af kol, so what else is going to be tameh bebeit ablia? Anything that's shavot bifnim kibachutz. Anything that's the same inside and outside. So what is that going to exclude? Yatza shchita chulin bifnim v'kodshim be'mi bifnim maybe machutz. Okay, the first one's going to be very obvious. The second one's going to be a little more complicated. Shchita chulin bifnim is different inside and outside. So if we're going to say trefa is something that's the same across the board, whether you're inside the mikdash or outside the mikdash, therefore that's metame beit ablia, but anything that's different inside and outside is not going to be metame. So let's take shchita. Shchita of chulin is allowed outside and won't make your animal in a vela. That's a classic case, right? That's shchita. But inside, you're not allowed to shecht it. So therefore, since it's different inside and outside, it's allowed outside, it's not allowed inside. Therefore, we're going to say it's not metame abeit ablia. And kodshim, beimi bifnim, beimi machutz, if they're shechted inside or outside, they're also going to be excluded from tuma bebeit ablia. Now that's going to be weird because they're not actually different inside and outside, but we'll get to that in a minute. Ho'il v'lo shavu bifnim kibachutz eimetamim begadim bebeit ablia. So here you have it. Since these items are not the same inside and outside, right now the shchita of kodshim is not allowed either inside or outside, so it's going to seem like it is shaveh, but we'll explain in a minute. Bishlam achulin lo shavu bifnim kibachutz. So chulin we understand, different inside and outside, because outside it's allowed and inside you can't shechul. Ela kodshim yidividi psulim ninu, but kodshim are both pasul inside and outside. Amarava, again, this is shchita of birds in or outside the Beit HaMikdash, right? If you have holy birds, birds that were designated for a korban, you can only do malika and you can only do it inside. But shchita won't work inside or outside. So amarava, imo ilu lo shchita chutz l'chayvo karet, lo to ilo l'tahara midei nevela. Sorry, it's a question. Lo to ilo l'tarami de nevela. It's a rhetorical question. If shchita, you're not allowed to shechut a bird b'chutz, but if you did it b'chutz, what would happen to you? Right, you have kodshim, you take this bird, you shecht it outside. What's it called? It's shkutechut. Shkutechut, you're chayv karet for if you eat it. So if you eat that meat, you're going to be chayv karet for it. So we're going to say it's, and that's because it's shkutechut. So it's considered enough of a shchita to call it shchute chutz and make you chayav karet. Therefore, it's not, and then they say, so it's crazy to then say, oh, but it's not considered shchita for the purposes of saying, oh, it's not a nevela. In other words, if it was a good shchita that is machayav karet, then it should be a good enough shchita to now call this not a nevela. So now they say, okay, so eshkachan chutz, pnim minalam, but where do we learn inside from? But now we're going to say, well, now it's clear, if you shech the bird inside the Beit HaMikdash, even though you're supposed to do malika and not shchita, that's not called shchut yechutz, and you're not chayav karet. So now we see that they're not shaveh bifnim ubachutz. So now we're going to see that the category of shchita kodshim of birds, whether inside or outside the mikdash, are actually not equivalent, because one is going to have chayav karet associated with, and one won't. So then they say, ihachi, malak kodshim bachutz namilo. So if you do malika on kodshim outside, then also you should say you're not going to be metame beit ablia, and we said you're actually metame, right? If you have malika of kodshim outside the mikdash, that is metame beit ablia. So, but why? Why don't you say delo shavu bifnim kivachutz? If you do malika of a bird inside, it's going to be okay, and if you do it outside, it's not going to be okay. So now we're going to show that delo shavu bifnim kivachutz of the malika outside to the malika inside is not the same as the shchita outside to the shchita inside. What's the main difference? The shchita inside and the shchita outside are both forbidden. And the malika inside is permitted, but the malika outside isn't permitted. So the Gemara is going to say, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, danim davar shelo behechshero mi davar shelo behechshero. We're going to learn shchita of bifnim from shchita bachutz, right? Just like we said, shchita bachutz is obviously, if it's called shchita to make you chayav karet, then it's going to be called shchita to take it out of Midin Nevela, and then we can learn from there to the Shchita Bifnim, so we can do Davar Shalo Bechshir and we Davar Shalo Bechshir. We can learn something that doesn't work from another thing that doesn't work. But Ein Danim Davar Shalo Bechshiro, which would be the Malika outside, you can't learn Mi Davar Shabechshiro from the Malika done inside. Okay? And therefore, you can't learn to the Malika of Kochim Bachutz that it's going to be Metame Bebet HaBliya, that it's going not to be Metame Bebet HaBliya, because it's different Bifnim and Bachutz. So then the Gemara questions this whole assumption. What do you mean? Ain't Danim Davar Shalo Bechshiro Mi Davar Shabechshiro below. Vahatanya, don't we have a case where we do learn something that is not able to be done from something that can be done? Minayim LeYotze, you're not allowed to take food, Kochim, out of the Beit HaMikdash. If you took Kochim out of the Beit HaMikdash area, out of the Azara, Shimala lo yered, and then you brought it back in. We're talking about kochi kochim. If you took kochi kochim outside and then you put them back on the mizbeach, you brought them back inside, you don't have to take them off. How do you know this? And that's a case of lo behechshero. Share yotze kasher bebama, because in the bama there was no din of yotze, because there were no mechitzot. So therefore, we learn the halacha for yotze, which is shelo behechshero, from davar shebehechshero. So now the Gemara says, you're right. So in fact, we don't really learn it from this treifa that, you know, they made an asmachta to the pasuk about treifa to teach you if something that's shaveh bifnimu bachutz, that's going to be tameh bebet habliya, but something that's not shaveh won't be. It's not that it's totally learned from there, it's just that they connected it there. But the halacha is really learned from somewhere else. And where do we learn it from? Tana azot torata ola riba samichle. They say, Zotarata Ola. Remember, what do we learn from here? We talked about this yesterday. Zotarata Ola seems to be a generalization. Torata Ola means the same thing applies across the board, which means if you took something that was Pasul and you put it back on the Mizbeach, you don't have to take it off. However, Zot comes to exclude. And what does it exclude? It excludes things that ain't Psulo Bakodesh. And that's why we're going to say that there's a difference between the Malika that's done outside, where it wasn't Psulo Bakodesh, where we're going to say that is Metame Bebet HaBliya, versus the other cases where we said Psulo B'Kodesh, and therefore they're not going to be Metame Bebet HaBliya. Okay, moving on to the next mission. Malak V'Nimtze Trefa. What if you did Malika, and then it turns out it was a Trefa? You found out after that the animal had been sick and was going to die anyway. We're going to have a three-way machlok at how to deal with this. Rabbi Meir Omer Eino Metame Bebet HaBliya. Okay, let me give you, before we start with this, you need some background, which is an animal, okay, not a bird, an animal that was slaughtered and turns out it was a trefa. So it's trefa, you're not allowed to eat it. That's what we call something's treif, you're not allowed to eat it. However, right, we use the word treif in a much more general sense, but trefa actually means that you shechted an animal that was going to die within the upcoming 12 months. So if you shechted it and then you found out it was a trefa, so in fact, you're not allowed to eat the meat, but it doesn't carry the din of nevela. Now, what's the difference between nevela and something that was shechted? Now, it's two differences. Number one, nevela can't be eaten. Number two, it's also metame. Okay, it carries tumah with it. So if you shechted this animal and turns out it was a trefa, then it doesn't carry a din of tumah with it. Okay, it takes it out of the din of tumah. So now the question is going to be, can the same thing apply to malika? Okay, if you do malika, and then it turns out the bird was a trefa. It was going to die within 12 months. So Rabbi Meir Omer, enomatame bebet habliya, just like shechting an animal will take it out of the status of trefa for the purposes of tuma, also doing malika to the bird will take it out of its status of being mitame. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mitame. Rabbi Yehuda says, in fact, it is tame. Malika doesn't take it out of its status. And likewise, his halacha is not only about Malika, but it's also, it comes up in the Mishnah Torah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and there it shows that they also argue about the shechita of a bird that was chulin. In other words, not only Malika of a kodshim bird, but the same would hold true for the shechita of a regular bird, that the shechita of a regular bird, v'nimtzei trefa, doesn't take it out of tumat Nevela. It's going to be Metame Nevela. So, Rabbi Yehuda says Metame, Rabbi Meir says it's all Tahorim. I'm a Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is now going to explain his Shita, and then at the end of the Mishnah, we're going to see a third Shita, which is going to be an in-between. I'm a Rabbi Meir. Kavachomer, you can make a kavachomer. Im nivela behemasha mitama b'maga umasa shkitata mitaheret trefata mitumata. If you have the nivela behema, that, and this is what I prefaced with before, nivela of a behema, which is in general mitame b'maga umasa, which is a we're assuming right now is a more serious tuma, okay, and yet. Shchitata mitaheret trefata, and yet if you shechted it, the shchita would take it out of the din of trefa mitumata in terms of tuma, again, not in terms of achila. Of course, you can't eat it, it's not kosher, but it won't be tamei, a tumat nevela. Then nevelat of, haof, she'e metame b'mago masa, right, which is only metame beta blia, but it's not metame by touching and by carrying, so which has a lower level of tuma. Wouldn't you assume then that its shchita would also take it out from being tumat of trefa, of tumat nevela? So, and once you have that, so now we're going to compare. First, you have to do two things. First, you have this kavachomer of Rabbi Meir, the nevela that, let's do it like this, the shchita of an oaf is equivalent to the nevela of a behema, but that hasn't taken us yet to malika. That's just a shchita of chulin, of a bird. Then they say, mamatzinu, but now we can take, if we say shchita of a bird that's chulin, is metaheret trefato mitumato, then mamatzinu b'shchita, shehima chasharta la'achila, shchita in general, as a principle, usually, in other words, if the animal's not a trefa, allows you to eat the food, and metaheret trefato mitumato, and takes the trefa out from being tameh. So af melikato, therefore, likewise, it's melika, shehima chasharto ba'achila, and that is likewise, take the, it's an analogy. Shchita to an oaf of chulin is like malika to an oaf of kodshim. Malika does the exact same thing as shchita. Malika, malikato shehima chasharto ba'achila, since it allows it to be eaten, therefore, to teher trefato midei tumato, it should take the trefa out of being tame, and it shouldn't have tumat nevela. That's Rabbi Meir, and that's why he thinks that either malika or shchita of chulin would take it, and as malika of kodshim or shchita of chulin would. And the bird, it turned out, was a trefa, shouldn't have tuma nevela. Rabbi Yossi omer, dayak ki nevela behema, shchitata matarata velo malikata. If you're going to make a kavachomer, you can only, there's something called dayo lavo min adin liyot kanidon. If you have a kavachomer, something that you learn min adin from a kavachomer, it can be no more, you can't learn anything more than what the din itself was. But you can't take it another step farther. In other words, you're going to have a one-step process, but you can't take it to Malika. So take the Nevela Behema, and we can compare the Shchita of a Nevela Behema to the Shchita of a Behema, of an Oaf Tahor, but we can't compare it to the Shchita, to the Malika of an Oaf. Okay, so you can only learn from it what you can learn from it to shchita, but you can't start taking that another step farther and going to malika. So he thinks that a shchita, that's why he's the in-between shita. Freudian slip there. Rabbi Yehuda says, shchita doesn't work in a bird and malika doesn't work in a bird to take it out of din tuma. It's going to be tameh because it's only a unique halacha by an animal that shchita of an animal, that's trefa, takes it out of being tameh. But not for a bird. Rabbi Meir says, yes, for a bird, it's all the same. And Rabbi Yossi says, it's the same for a bird if you actually did shchita. But if you did malika, it's not. So now the Gemara is going to question Rabbi Meir, lo darish dayo, how could Rabbi Meir have not used this klal, dayo lavo menadin, liyo kanidon, and take it another step farther? Vaha dayo do'oraita, dayo is a din do'oraita, detanya, it says in a braita, midin kavachomer, ketzad, how does the kavachomer work? Where do we learn that you can do a kavachomer? Vayomer Hashem Moshe, vavia yarok yarak befaneh. This is by Miriam. It says if you had spit in front of your father, what did it say there? Haloti kalem shivat yamim. You would have been put away for 7 days. And therefore, tisager shivat yamim michutz lamachaneh v'acher teasef. And therefore, Miriam is going to be put michutz lamachaneh for 7 days. Now, what should it have said? Kavachomer l'shchina. Arba'as are yom, right? You should have said at least, let's say minimum, right? If to a father it would be 7 days, to God all the more so, it should be 14 days. So now they're going to say, what do you learn from here? Ela dayolav amanadin liyokanidon, right? If you would have done for that, it would have been 7 days. Here, it's also going to be 7 days. You can't learn from a kavachomer anything more than what the original law was. So how could Rabbi Yossi have done that? So I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Meir, Kra Eshkach v'Kadarish. He found a pasuk and he darshened it. What pasuk? Zot Torah tebeimah va'of. Effort to talks about Tumah Nevela in the pasukim in Vayikra Yud Aleph. It says a summary pasuk. Zot Torah tebeimah va'of, and etc. So now, the Gemara is going to say Zot Torah tebeimah va'of sounds like they have the same halachot. V'chi be'ezot Torah shivta behemah la'of va'of lebeimah. In what area is behemah and of similar? Right? They're not similar in the way they're metame, because a behema is metame by touching, and an of is not metame by touching. And an of is metame begadim abed habliya. An of has this unique tuma of beta blia while it's in your mouth, then it becomes you become an avatuma. Behema ena metama begadim abed habliya. But a behema doesn't have that type of tuma. So how can you say zotorat habehema vahaof? Because they don't have anything similar about them. Therefore, this must be coming to teach you our halacha. Ela lomar lecha, ma behema davar shemachshira la'achila metaher trefata mitumata, af of davar shemachshir ba'achila metaher trefato mitumato. So just like a behema, what's machshir for achila also takes it out, takes the trefa out from being in a tame status. Likewise, the of davar shemachshir ba'achila metaher trefato mitumato. The of is the same thing. If it's machshir, right, that just like we're basically going to say it's exactly the same thing, that whatever is makhshir for achila is metaher, it's trefa. And then you don't have to do a double step. You just say, you can learn the halacha out from here. Rabbi Yehuda, what's his proof text? My taima, kra eshkach v'kadarish. Okay, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? He, how does he darshan that? They're both metame bebet habliya. So he has, he also found a pasuk. What does he say? Nevela trefa, okay, again, nevela and trefa both appear in this pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, trefa lama ne'emra. Why does it say trefa in the pasuk? If it talks about what's generally a trefa is still alive, right? So what we mean here about a trefa is a trefa that was sick before it died, and then it died. So now, im trefa, now we're going to see that there's two approaches to a trefa. Either you can say that a trefa is viewed as if it's a live animal, and it's just it's going to die at some point. Or you say that since we know the animal is going to die very soon, we treat the animal as if right now it's already dead. So if you say trefa chaya can still live, and therefore it's perceived as live until it actually dies, hare nevela amura. So then, what we're basically going to say, when does the tumah hit? When it dies, how does it die? Well, once it dies, what's it considered? A nevela. So therefore, you don't even need the word trefa to appear in the pasuk, because it already says nevela. Ve'im trefa eina chaya, and if a trefa is not expected to live, we basically view it as if it's dead already, which means that it's already tame, tumat nevela, while it's alive, basically, because you're basically saying this is a dead animal. So then, harehi bechlal nevela, and it's at that point, it's already considered a nevela when it's alive. So again, you wouldn't need the word to appear in the pasuk. So therefore, what does the word trefa come in the pasuk? It must be coming to teach us, ela lavi trefa sheshachata shemitama. It must be coming to teach us that a trefa that one slaughters is mitame. In other words, trefa kipshuto is unnecessary in the pasuk, because either it'll die, it'll be a nevela, or we already view it as a nevela right now, which means we can learn all the dinim of trefa from the word nevela. So, of Tuma Trefa. So, therefore, it must be coming to teach us something additional. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's coming to teach us that a Trefa that was slaughtered is Mitame. Okay? And that even Shchita doesn't take a Trefa out from, and it's trying specifically, obviously, here, we're talking about a bird. Okay? That if it was a bird, because we know by an animal it does take it out of being a Trefa. So, you'd have to say a Trefa bird that was slaughtered is Mitame. Okay? And therefore, Malika or Shchita, it doesn't really matter. Okay, we'll stop here for today.